Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Good morning again. It is week three in our series, Touchstones of Prayer, as you've seen there. And I still get people every week asking me, what's a touchstone again? Because I forget. So let me review if you haven't been here, if you're confused, if you didn't pay attention in science class. We still love you for all of those reasons. So let me tell you what that is. A touchstone is a stone that was used back in the day, similar to a piece of slate. And people that were looking for gold and for alloy metals, they would rub those against the touchstone and figure out if that rock or that stone was what they thought it was. So sometimes they would think, oh, this is gold, I've got something here. They would rub it against the touchstone and say, oh, this is fool's gold, and that makes me a fool, I guess. And so a touchstone is basically just something that you can use to judge the authenticity, the genuineness of what you've got. And so the reason that we're equating that and using that with prayer, sometimes there are moments that we wonder, not does God hear our prayers, but we wonder, are my prayers doing, are they accomplishing what I want them to? Are they connecting me to God? Are they giving me an intimacy with Him? Are they growing me in the way that I want them to? And so the heart of this series is not to say, hey, here's a better way to pray so that God will help you win the lottery or so that God will be your personal genie. It's not that at all. The reason that we're doing this is so that we can say, hey, here are some touchstones, some things that you can know that your prayers are genuine, some ways that you can know that your prayers are doing what you want, that they're connecting you to God and they're giving you a level of intimacy. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about the process that we want our prayer to be like oxygen. We want our prayer to be something that we're consistently breathing in and out and something that's a part of the flow of our life. We don't want to get to a place where we have to treat prayer like an oxygen mask and binge on prayer and arrive at it at an absolute emergency because we've been neglecting that part of our life. And we said so that our prayers have a healthy pace, we said that we need to remember that prayer is work. That prayer will take discipline. There are moments that you may not want to pray. There are moments that you may not want to talk to God or may not want to talk to God or confess certain things to God, but we still need to work through those. We said that prayer is work. We also said that prayer is a response. Prayer must be something that's transparent, and prayer must be something that takes us to a place where we're being honest with God. Prayer is work. Prayer is a response. We also said that our prayers should be balanced. And so we said that there's a healthy mix of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Sometimes I pray with my sons and I realize that they're just asking God for crazy things that I can't afford to buy them for Christmas. And we would all look at that and smile and think like, oh, that's silly. They're six, they're eight, they just want toys. Their dad's cheap or something like that, right? And yet sometimes we do the adult version of that. And so we said that our prayers, we want them to be balanced so that we can know that we're consistently breathing in and out and working on our intimacy with God. Last week it was said that healthy prayer requires self-awareness, and we said that when we're self-aware, our prayers will have a tone of grace to them. We will understand that we have no business talking to a perfect and holy God, and yet because of the sacrifice, because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, we can have a relationship with God and we can talk to Him. And so when we're self-aware, we understand that it's only by the grace of God that we can communicate with Him. We'll also understand that somewhere in our prayers, in our relationship with God, there should be a healthy dose of fear. We should understand that God is a mighty, great, sovereign God, and He's greater than us. And sometimes we flip that perspective and think, I'm pretty cool. I've got things going on here in my life, and I'm really awesome on earth. And we forget that our life and our planet and everything about us is a speck in eternity. And so our prayers should be seasoned with grace and with fear, and honestly, with a certain amount of helplessness. We should understand that in relation to God, that we are weak, and at our best that we have to be dependent on Him. And so our prayers have to be self-aware if they're going to be healthy. Today, we want to talk about what prayer gives us. We've talked about many different things. We've talked about where prayer takes us, what prayer can give us in return. But we want to talk specifically today about what it gives us in our lives, what we'll be able to see, what will be evidence. And so I want to ask you to turn your Bible to a passage. It's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is a famous one. If you've got one of the Bibles, it's on your seat, under your seat, or around you. Maybe you didn't know there was one there, but you can turn there. We're going to be on page 737. Page 737, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. This is kind of one of those famous passages. Hopefully we will we'll look at it from a different way, but this is the passage where we see the Lord's Prayer. Later on, we'll get to that in a little bit, but we want to look at verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6, page 737. If you turn there with me, and if you don't have a copy of the Bible, the one that you're looking at is our gift to you. We would love for you to take that home today. We believe and we know that God's Word has power and that we want people to be able to read that and study that during the week. So if you don't have a Bible or if you don't have that translation of the Bible and you think, I wish I could take this home and read it, good news, you can. It's your birthday today, and that is our gift to you. So let me read Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, as we learn today what prayer gives us. It says this in verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. We'll stop there for a second because I think that this is an interesting couple of verses, an interesting passage, because Jesus is basically saying that he's kind of letting us look under the hood and being honest. Sometimes as people interact with religion and people interact with these man-made things that we like to do and these patterns that we show in our lives, he's basically saying, listen, sometimes people that think they're praying, or people that think they're being spiritual, or people that think they're being religious, they're kind of getting it wrong. The end game is wrong. And so that's exactly our heart for this series. I think sometimes there are people that are aware what they're doing is wrong, and sometimes there are people that are saying, yeah, I'm just kind of talking. I hope that God hears this or lets me win the lottery or whatever I think. And sometimes we're praying and the end game is not where we want to be. And so Jesus is saying there are people who pray in public to look good. Don't be that person. That basically sounds like a meme, right? As I was reading this passage, I was thinking it this week. It's like all these things that Jesus is saying not to be. He's saying there are people who babble and repeat certain words, and he's saying don't be that person. Don't just repeat these lifeless things for no good reason. He's saying you want to be honest, and you want to talk to God, and you want to ask him for the things that are on your heart. But he's saying that there are times and moments and groups of people that if we're being honest and we're looking at some of the things that humans do, they're missing the boat on prayer. And we've studied prayer over this series, and most of you already know this, but prayer is a beautiful thing. It's a gift that God has given us to talk to him, to communicate with him, and yet sometimes people have exchanged that design of prayer for something with no power. They've exchanged it for something that's not really getting the results they want, something that doesn't really have the outcome that they want. Most of you know that I grew up in a place that I would describe as the country, right? There are people that I grew up with that have tractors that cost more than my house, and that's my definition of how you know when you grew up in the country. And so it wasn't uncommon where I grew up that many people would have fences somewhere at their house. Either you would have a fence holding in some animals that you owned, or maybe your neighbor, or the farm next to you would have a fence that would border your property. And so I'm no stranger to the awesome thing that is the electric fence. Some of you probably have experience with electric fences. Maybe you don't. I thought that I could educate us all and look up a clip on YouTube this week, and I realized something very quickly, that when people come in contact with electric fences, the language that they say is really not something that we want to advertise on a Sunday. So I quickly realized that I was just going to have to explain an electric fence, because there were no videos that we could show. I could maybe say, hey, try to mute it back there, but if it didn't happen, I could lose my job. So anyway, an electric fence, obviously just a normal wire fence, something that's meant to hold in animals, and something that's got a little charge and a little shock put through it, and something that, like I said, I used to have some fun with when I was little. There were some horses that bordered my grandma and grandpa's property that their neighbors had. And so we would always be there hanging out with my cousins, and it was one of our favorite things to kind of push the little cousins into the electric fence and just laugh and think it was awesome. It was actually terrible, and I want to apologize to all of them in front of you, but there was always this plan to try and think of a way, like, you know, to grab the fence and then grab someone, or to say, hey, can you go get that board if we're building a fort or something, and the board would be leaning on the fence, and the little cousin person wouldn't know. And so there were all kinds of different ways that we would trick people into grabbing a fence. But it got me thinking this week, when you grab an electric fence or when you touch an electric fence or when that shock goes through you, you're very aware of what's going on in that moment, right? It's not like something that's going to kill you. I don't want to pretend that it's this amazing thing. But if you're a 4 or 6 year old and you touch an electric fence, I think you have that moment where you're like, this is not what I want to happen right now. And this is bad. And I'm going to end this or stop this. And so I think that our big idea for this morning is simply this, that prayer gives us life by connecting us to God. Now, when you think of life, I hope that you think of this exciting word, but I think sometimes we wonder, all right, if my prayer is supposed to give me life, what does life look like in my life? Is it going to be like touching an electric fence that I just suddenly know, oh man, I'm praying and God is here and this is crazy, and it drops you to your knees and you feel this jolt and you're shaking? That would be great if that were the case, right? Prayer gives us life by connecting us to God. But I think you've got to be honest, and we've got to be honest, that sometimes our prayer lives don't feel like that. Sometimes our prayer lives don't feel like this amazing, shocking, jolting thing, this charge of electricity going through our lives. Sometimes we feel like we're talking to God and there's nothing happening in return. Often we feel like we're trying to communicate with God, or we have something in our heart and we want to say that back to him. We want to see his response, and yet we're not hearing anything. And so our goal for this morning is to kind of give some touchstones. What does it look like to have life? What does it look like for us to have life and life to the fullest? What does it look like if we're going to say that prayer gives us life by connecting us to God? What will that life look like? How will life evidence itself in our prayers and in the things that we feel and the things that we know? How do you know that prayer is giving you life? And so there are a couple of things that I want to point out today. The first one is this. You'll know that you have life. You'll know that prayer is giving you life because you'll have perspective. Prayer gives us perspective. Prayer reorients your view toward God. Prayer gives us perspective, and prayer reorients your view toward God. When I think of perspective, I think of someone that's been on a journey, maybe someone that's been climbing a hill or climbing a mountain, and for the first time, they're able to see, oh, that's where I was, that's where I've been, that's where I'm going, and here I am, and I'm arrived. Or sometimes you're climbing a mountain, and you get halfway up, and you think, okay, that's where I've been, that's where I was, and suddenly you see the rest of the mountain, and you can say, I've still got some more ground to cover, I've still got somewhere to go, I've still got some things that I need to do. We had a chance to go on vacation last week as a family, and so I wanted to show you a picture that makes me think of perspective. This is a picture from the top of the lighthouse. Our family went to a place called Baldhead Island, and yes, I realize how funny it is that I go to a place called Baldhead Island. I didn't realize that till like a year ago when everyone in the church was making fun of me, and suddenly I was like, okay, it's funny, I get it. But we've been going to this place for like 5 or 6 years. It has a lighthouse that's 199 years old, and because I'm too cheap, we'd never been up in the lighthouse. I hadn't taken my kids up in the lighthouse, I guess. And last week, I had a chance to be the pastor of the week, the chapel there on the island, and they gave us some free tickets up in the lighthouse. And this is the perspective that I had. We'd always been to this island. We've driven around. We've seen the beach. We've been on golf carts. And for the first time, we're like 100 feet in the air, and I'm looking down, and I'm thinking like, wow, this is a whole nother place that I didn't know. This is a whole nother adventure that I didn't even fathom. This is what perspective looks like. Perspective is being up high enough and progressing far enough to say, all right, that's something that was in my past. And this is my future. This is where I've been. This is where I'm going. This is what God has done. This is what I need to work on. When our prayers are accomplishing what they should, when our prayers are giving us life, we always wonder, what does life look like? How do I know that God is giving me life? God is fueling my life. God will be giving you perspective. Sometimes perspective can feel like a guilt trip. Sometimes perspective can feel like, oh wow, I shouldn't have done that thing. Sometimes perspective will be something that motivates you, where God says, this is the mountain that I'm calling you to, and it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of energy, but I'm asking you to work in my name, and I'm asking you to take yourself there, and to take your family there, to take your marriage there. Prayer gives us perspective. Prayer allows us to look back. Prayer allows us to look forward. Prayer allows us to look inside of ourselves and outside of ourselves. Prayer gives us perspective. There's another thing that prayer gives us, and I want to just read a passage to you today. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Psalm 73. It's probably not a psalm that you've read a lot, but I think that it gives us an example of what else prayer can give us. It's on page 446, Psalm 73. And these are the words. This psalm was written by a man who's filled with resentment. Maybe this is a guy who's beginning to get perspective in his prayers, but he's looking at what God is doing and what God has done, and he's saying, I don't like this. I don't like who I am. I don't like where my life has gone. And he's looking at other people with envy, and he's looking at people who abuse power and exploit others, and he's feeling like the things that God does are not fair, and that some of these people never pay for what they do. So sometimes prayer gives us perspective, but there's another thing that prayer gives us. Let me read this. Psalm 73, verse 1 says this: "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know? They ask. Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing for trouble all day long, nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is." This is probably not a typical passage that we expect to be in the Bible. We think it will say, like, "Thou shalt not do this." And this is it's honestly a guy who's looking at what God is doing around the world, looking at how God is letting people prosper, looking at how some people's lives are getting better, and looking at their attitudes and looking at who they are in people, and he's bitter. He's mad about what God is giving these people, how God has blessed these people, how he's not being blessed, and he's starting to doubt God and doubt God's character and doubt God's justice and doubt who God is. This is a guy who's filled with affliction, and yet this is a moment where we see him turn the corner. Verse 17 says this: "Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter, and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good is it to be near God? I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do." When we talk to God, when we pray to God, he gives us perspective. Sometimes we're not excited about what God is doing. We're not excited about where God has brought us. We're not excited about the things that he's doing in our lives. We're not excited about who we are or who others are or where we're at. Sometimes God has to let us work through that. God has to bring us into his presence. God has to change us. And God has to say, "This is the perspective I'm giving you. This is a new perspective, a way to look down on your life or to look back on your life or to look forward on your life." God is saying that he's working, that he's with us, that we can trust him, that he's giving us life. That life will be obvious because of the perspective we have. Another passage I want to take us to, and you can turn there if you want, but I'd love to just read it too. It's a passage that's kind of famous again. It's Ephesians chapter 6, and it's a passage that talks about the armor of God. It's page 898, and this is a moment where Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, this is what it looks like to follow God. This is what it looks like for you to trust God, to pursue him, to have your daily life reflect pursuing God. And he says this to the church in Ephesus as he's talking about the armor of God. "A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Most of us have probably read this passage, probably heard of this passage, and we've talked about those things and we've wanted those things. Paul is referencing all of the things that we know to be true because of our salvation and our dependence on Jesus. He's saying, you need to daily know and be equipped with your salvation. You need to daily know and understand the peace that God gives you. You need to daily know and understand good news and understand righteousness and understand all of these things that we're promised because of salvation, because of a relationship with Jesus. These are the things that it takes to live life and to live for God and to exist in this world. And so we know those things, but how do we get those things? This is what Paul says in verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, and the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul is saying, how do we know the things that we have in Christ? How can we be aware of the things we have in Christ? How can we trust the things we have in Christ? How can they become real to our lives and present in our lives and actually have a role in our lives? How can we know that we have life in Christ, and how can our prayers get us there? Our prayers are what takes us there. Prayer is the thing that reminds us what we have in Christ. Prayer is the thing that reminds us what we have through salvation. Prayer is the thing that reminds us that our dependence should be on God. Prayer is the thing that reminds us of the righteousness of God. And prayer is the thing that reminds us of the difference that God has made in our lives. So how do you know that your prayers are giving you life? Prayer gives you perspective. But the second thing that prayer gives you strength. Prayer gives you perspective, and prayer gives us strength. Strength is a spiritual union with God. When you get done talking to God, when you get done spending time with God, you should feel a union. You should feel a camaraderie. You should feel a closeness. You should feel an intimacy that can't be explained. When we're talking to God, when we're building our relationship with God, when we're taking things to God, and we wonder, how do I know this is real? How do I know that he's part of my life? How do I know that I have life? You should feel a strength that you feel at no other time and no other place in your life after you get done talking to God. And I don't mean to freak people out, and I don't mean to say, if you don't feel that, you're praying wrong, something's wrong. But when you get done talking to God, when you get done praying to God, if you have a consistent conversation and relationship with God, you should feel strengthened by your prayer time. You should feel more aware of how great he is and how much you need him, but how great he makes you, how great you are in him. Prayer gives us perspective and lets us know where we've been, where we're going, where God is still calling us, and prayer gives us strength to tackle those things. Prayer gives us life by connecting us with God. And life is a dose of perspective. Life is a dose of strength. And there's a third thing that prayer gives us. And as I say this, I don't want it to sound like just some feel-good thing. I think that sometimes there are moments that as humans we depend too much on our feelings or our emotions or our experiences. As believers, I believe that we're called to trust God's word and know what we see in God's word to be true. And so you may have an experience, you may have a feeling, but I think we always want to put that through the grid of what God's word says. And yet, God created feelings. God created emotions. God gives us experiences, and consistently through Scripture, through the Old and New Testament, we do see people being shaped by experiences where they see God. So if we're going to say that prayer gives us life by connecting us to God, what will that life look like? What will it feel like? Well, it'll feel like perspective, and it'll feel like strength. But the third thing that prayer gives us a spiritual reality, an awareness of the presence of God. When you have perspective and when you have strength, you will have an awareness of who God is and who you are in God and where he's calling you and where he's taking you. And that will fill your life, and that will fill your heart, and that will motivate you, and that will move you, and that will call you to do things that you wouldn't have the strength or the perspective or the idea to do before. And yet now, as you see who God is, and you're aware of who he is, and you're aware of who he's calling you to be and where he's taking you, you'll find that prayer moves you. Prayer moves your heart. Prayer moves your life. Prayer moves your relationships by giving you a spiritual reality. I want to give us a moment this morning just to talk to God. Sometimes at the end of a message, we do the classic thing where the pastor ends and he prays and everyone says, that was touching, that was good. But I think it would be crazy for us to talk about prayer and to not take a moment and talk to God. Some of us haven't talked to God for a while. Some of us haven't talked to God yet this week. Some of us were doing good to get our kids in the car and make sure there's no toothpaste on their mouths. This guy right here, make sure their hair looked okay and get them to church. And so maybe you haven't taken a moment and talked to God yet today, or talked to God this week, or talked to God this year or ever. Talking to God is a simple thing that we can do because of the sacrifice of Jesus. God is always a prayer away, and I want to give us a moment to do that. Because these things that we're talking about today are not just things that we want to do and say, hey, next time you pray, try to remember these bullet points. I hope you wrote them down. I hope they're good. No, these are things that we want to pray to God, that we want to ask of God, that we want to say, God, I need to see these things in my life so that you can fill me, so that you can let me live for you, so that I can glorify you and I can honor you with my life. And so I want to give you a moment right now, just as a church, as we talk about things that we want to see in our relationship with God, in our prayer life. Take a moment, talk to God, and if this is on your heart, ask God that this week and this month that he will give you perspective. Ask God that he will give you perspective on where you're at and where your life is at. Ask God that he will give you strength, that through the strength that you feel from him, that you will know and you will trust that he is real and you'll be called to dependence on him. And ask that you'll have a spiritual awareness, that you'll be very aware of his presence in your life. I want to give us a moment just to talk to God. Ask God for those things. Ask God for perspective. Ask God for strength, and ask God for a spiritual awareness in your relationship, in your life. As we close and as we finish up, talk to God for a moment. Ask him for those things. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us in spite of the ways that we've walked away from you or run away from you, in spite of the things that we've done. God, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for our lives, for our sins, so that we can know you, so that we can have relationship with you, so that we can talk to you. God, I pray that through these weeks that we've taken a look at our prayer lives, we've taken a look at our relationship with you, and God, I pray that we've been encouraged. And Lord, we know that we won't be perfect anytime soon, but that we are in you and through you, through your son. So God, I pray that as we seek to be people who are finding their way back to you, Lord, I pray that we will talk to you, pray that we will bring our problems and our praise and every aspect of our lives to you. God, I pray that we will be serious about talking to you, about knowing you intimately, about living life with you and living life for you. God, I pray that this week, Lord, that you will fill our relationship with you, Lord, that we will know that you are real, that you will make those things real to us. God, I pray that as we talk to you, that just our prayers will give us life because they connect us to you. God, I pray that that life will be something that we're sure of, something that we're confident of. God, I pray that our prayers will be something that give us perspective. Lord, teach us who we are. Teach us where we're at and call us to more. As men, as women, as mothers, as fathers, as husbands and wives, and as people who hold different jobs and work and function all over this city, Lord, give us perspective of where we're at and where you want us to go. Lord, give us strength as we talk to you. Lord, not our strength, but a dependence on your strength. Let us know that you're with us. And God, give us a spiritual reality. Help us to be aware of your presence, aware of how you're leading us, aware of how you're talking to us and where you're calling us. God, thank you for the example that you give us in Scripture, the way that you speak into our prayer, and thank you for the example that your Son gave us. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. God, thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you that we can be your church. It's in your name I pray. Amen.